Welcome to the second quarter 2019 Bolsa Mexicana de Valores earnings conference call. My name is Hilda, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. For the question-and-answer session, to ask a question, please press star and then 1 using your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Ramon Güemes. Mr. Güemes, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores second quarter 2019 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at Bolsa. Such statements reflect current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, in prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded and a replay of this call will be available online on July 18th at Bolsa's corporate website, www.vmv.com.mx. During this call, all figures are in Mexican pesos and compared to the second quarter of 2018, unless stated otherwise. This call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. Joining us for today's call are José Oriol Bosch, our CEO, Roberto González, SVP of Indeval, Gabriel Rodriguez, CEO of ICAP, José Miguel de Dios, CEO Mexder, Enrique Camacho, Director of Commercial Coordination and Client Relations, Roberto Gabaldón, Director of Communications, Luis René Ramón, Investor Relations Officer, and myself, Ramón Güemes. I would now like to turn the call over to our CEO, Oriol Bosch.
Thank you, Ramón. Hello, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the second quarter earnings conference call. I will outline the developments in the period and thoughts going forward, but first, let me take you through the key financial results. When comparing quarterly results, we have to keep in mind that the second quarter of 2018 presented non-recurring revenues in CIFICAP, as well as unusual volumes in traded-related businesses, given that the Mexican presidential election happened in July 2018. The second quarter 2019 results show that BMV has a strong and well-diversified business model and highlights the need for continuing executing our medium-term strategy. In a quarter where our average daily traded value decreased 24%, BMV reported revenue for 884 million pesos, only 4% or 34 million pesos below last year's second quarter, in spite of the non-recurring revenues we had last year. Revenue for this quarter exceeded the quarterly revenue average of 2018. The results were driven by our fee-related businesses, especially information services and the Central Securities Depository, Indeval. Additionally, it is relevant to mention that the reduced fee schedule in listing and maintenance had a negative impact of 24 million pesos this quarter. On the other hand, our expenses increased by just 7 million pesos, or 1.7%, because of our discipline in cost control and optimization initiatives. The growth is the result of new headcount related to projects that began last year, as well as new regulatory investments in developing flexible disaster recovery plan, DRP. Operating income and EBITDA reported -8% and -3% respectively, and net income declined by 10% to 331 million pesos for the quarter. The EBITDA margin was recorded at 58%, considering the amendments to IFRS 16, which eliminated the dual accounting model for leases that distinguishes between financial lease contracts that are recorded on the balance sheet and operating leases, which are not. The adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter 2018 was 59%, 166 basis points higher than on the second quarter of 2018-19. I will now review in detail our traded-related businesses' results. In cash equities trading and clearing, revenue was registered at 121 million pesos, down 16% compared to 2018. The average daily traded value for the second quarter was 12.7 billion pesos, down 24% year over year. It is important to note that CCB provides clearing services for all Mexican equities. In derivatives trading and clearing, revenue decreased by 12% to 45 million pesos as a result of lower volumes in trading and, in turn, lower margin deposits. As we have mentioned in the past, BMV continues working with the Mexican government and financial regulators to incentivize the development of a formal and standardized Mexican derivatives market, including the authorization for more AFORES or pension funds to trade derivatives. We are working towards receiving authorization to list electricity future contracts in the last quarter of the year. On a positive note, the second quarter was stronger than the first quarter of 2019, explained by higher trading in dollar futures, TIIE 28 swaps, and S&P VNV IPC index contracts. CIFICAP's revenue was down 23 million or 14% as a result of a one-time income for 12 million pesos due to the resolution of a labor lawsuit in CIFICAP, Mexico, and the devaluation of the Chilean peso against the Mexican peso, which had a negative impact on CIFICAP's Chile revenues. In view of the above, the second quarter of 2019 was stronger when compared to the first quarter of the year. CIFICAP revenues grew 16% quarter over quarter, mainly explained by higher volatility in the Chilean market and new offshore customers. Regarding our non-trading businesses results, information services increased 20% or 23 million to 137 million pesos as a result of new distribution channels and the commercialization of products developed last year. Balmer's revenues showed a similar behavior to that observed in the second quarter of 2018. As for market data, it presented non-recurring revenues of 10 and 8 million pesos in second quarter 2018 and second quarter 2019 respectively. Excluding non-recurring concepts, the growth for the period was 22% or 25 million pesos in additional revenues. Central Securities Depository, Indeval, revenue was up 9% or 21 million pesos to 253 million pesos, a historical record high, explained by the growth in services related to the global market, the SIC, which helped to offset the 1% decline in the value of the assets under custody. While reporting record high revenues, I am glad to share with you that the changes made in the third quarter of 2017 to the business model of the global market have generated 230 million pesos in savings during the first half of 2018 for all clients of Indeval. Lifting and maintenance revenue decreased by 13% or 22 million to 149 million pesos. The result is explained mainly by the reduced fee schedule applied in the first quarter of 2018 and by listings with a lower amount placed in the medium and long-term debt market, as well as fewer listings in the stock and alternative markets. All in all, the discounts had a negative impact of 24 million pesos for the quarter, 5 million in listings, and 19 million in maintenance. New listings in the short-term debt market grew 31%, and there were new issues of Serpis and Cecades, Harbor First Partner for 1.9 billion pesos, PMIC Latam for 939 million pesos, and active for 570 million pesos. Expenses for the quarter amounted to 423 million pesos, up 1.7% or 7 million pesos compared to last year's second quarter, which is explained by the following items. Personal expenses increased by 13 million pesos due to salary increases, as well as new positions in information security and customer relations. Technology was down 33 million pesos in the second quarter. 20 million pesos were reclassified from technology to depreciation as a result of changes in the accounting standard IFRS 16, and 13 million pesos because of cost optimization of 2018 projects, such as the automation of information and communication from the global market, SIC, and the connection with international custodians, as well as the implementation of infrastructure with high availability. Depreciation increased by 26 million pesos, 20 million due to changes to IFRS 16, and 6 million because of projects completed in 2018 and new hardware leases. Rent and maintenance presented an increase of 3 million pesos as a result of the alternate operation center and building maintenance work. Consulting fees up 3 million pesos related to the flexible disaster recovery plan. Subcustody decreased 6 million pesos, explained by better commercial terms as a result of the consolidation of international custodians for the global market, the SIC. The results of the quarter led us to an operating and EBITDA margin of 52% and 58%, respectively, and a net income of 331 million pesos. Now let me turn to BMV's medium-term strategy and how it is unfolding. BMV's strategic initiatives are focused on further development of post-trade and market data initiatives, protection of legacy business by building new added value services, and work closer with buy-side clients and regulators. Regarding the further development of post-trade and market data initiatives, we have made great progress in partnering and aligning our products and services to the needs and interests of our clients with three main revenue-generating initiatives. At this moment, we will not share revenue estimates, but will be included in our 2020 guidance. First, in Indeval, we have started implementing RPAs on robotic process automatization to perform repetitive business processes and reduce operational risk, as well as analyzing web platforms to have live communication with clients and improve customer services. Additionally, we are building value-added services such as corporate actions, cash management through a third party, tax services, and post-trade settlement data, to name a few. The former actions, together with the implementation of SWIFT's most robust platform, AMH, will allow us to connect more efficiently with international custodians. Without a doubt, the direct custody project will provide a new offering to international custodians and generate additional revenues in Indeval starting next year. Second, regarding our Latin American exchange data, or LET venture, I can share with you that preparations on developing data products are on time. LET's goal is to distribute standardized data in a single format directly to the middle and back office of financial institutions. We expect to start distributing the new products in the fourth quarter of 2019. And third, we are analyzing new opportunities in the post-trade segment. We will keep you updated in the following months. Regarding the protection of BMV's legacy businesses, I am glad to share with you that a month ago we launched an app called Emisoras BMV, where all the companies listed in the Mexican Stock Exchange can chat and engage directly with our customer service center regarding delivery of information, deadlines, regulations, and reservation of meeting rooms at BMV's emblematic building for free, among other topics. Furthermore, in August, we will be launching an upgrade to BMV's trading engine by increasing the functionality to our member broker and their clients to trade baskets and replicate simultaneously indices and global portfolio optimized strategies. BMV's clients will be able to execute multiple trades in microseconds, minimizing manual entries and price differences in order to deliver the same performance as the global portfolio strategy. As for getting closer with buy-side clients and regulators, BMV continues working together with the authorities and financial regulators to develop a more liquid, transparent, and efficient capital market, as well as a Mexican derivatives market. This includes assisting Afores in the process of receiving authorization to trade derivatives. During the second quarter, the international quotation system for the global market reached a record of more than 2,000 listed securities and more than 800 billion pesos in assets. It is worth noting that this platform developed by the BMV is unique in its kind and has been an example for other global stock exchanges to attempt to replicate it. Furthermore, in the World Environment Day, BMV announced its sustainable strategy in line with international best practices, which includes 5 lines of action: waste management, emissions neutralization, energy efficiency, water saving, and continue being a leader in the Mexican financial markets. Finally, I would like to reiterate that 2019 is a transformational year for the company. We expect to continue facing headwinds with our traded-related businesses, but our cost control discipline will definitely play a role in the second part of the year. As we have stated in the past, we maintain our beginning of the year guidance and we will work towards achieving it. At the same time, we will continue investing for growth by expanding our portfolio of products and services and by focusing on top line expansion while maintaining our cost control culture. With that, I thank you for your time, and together with my colleagues, we will be gladly answering any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and then 1 on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star and then one using your touchtone phone. We have a question from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Jose Oriol, and good morning to all your team. Three questions from my side. During the quarter, listings contracted 34% year-over-year due to weak macro conditions and low business confidence. On the other side, we see maintenance fees declining 10% year-over-year due to lower medium and long-term debt issuances and the discount prices. So can you share with us how much do you think was related to the macro conditions and how much to the discount plan? Well, my second question is kind of related to the first question. Given the weak macro conditions in the country, what would be the management strategy to mitigate a likely lower activity in equity listings and medium and long-term debt? You already mentioned part of your medium-term strategy. But would it be by increasing those revenues related not to market conditions, or would it be, as you mentioned it also, by reducing costs? I think if you can give us a little bit more on this, we'll be very helpful. And on my last question, if at some point we start to see lower interest rates, do you think this could help to increase equity activity, or do you think that higher equity activity will depend more on better business confidence and economic activity? Any color on this will be much appreciated. Thank you.
Ernesto, good morning. Regarding your first question, the impact of the fee reduction for the maintenance fees for the quarter is $24 million. For the first half would be double that, 48. The rest would be low economic conditions. If they continue, they impact the listings more directly, and reduced listings have an impact on next year's maintenance, not necessarily on this one's. Mm-hmm. Regarding your second question, whether we would be achieving, we will work to achieve guidance, whether it be through looking for new revenue opportunities or through cost controlling. Our goal is to get as close to our guidance as possible in this year. Mm-hmm. And for your last question, whether lower interest rates can increase trading activity, in theory, yes. But in practice, we hope so, too.
Okay, thank you. So just a follow-up on the first question. Can you share with us if the discount plan that you are implementing is pressuring at some point the maintenance fees or other trading revenues? And then a follow-up in the last question. Do you think that will be the increased activity will be more to lower interest rates, or you think it will be depending more on the better business confidence and better economic activity in the country?
Well, the discount plan is specifically guided towards maintenance. Mm-hmm. So maintenance has it's always had a healthy growth. It's decreasing by $14 million quarter over quarter, and this is the net effect of the growth and the $24 million impact of the fee reduction. On the trading equities, on the trading revenues, the reduction is basically in line with the reduction in trading volumes or value. So we haven't seen a, there's no price impact there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, and whether increase in volumes would be better economic conditions or reduced fees, it's a mixture of both, I guess. I mean, the theory says that lower interest rates would increase investments in other projects, and that should increase trading. So we hope so.
Thank you very much.
And Ernesto, I don't think that it is just interest rates. And as a reminder, in 2015, Mexican interest rates, overnight rates in Mexico were at 3%. The average traded volume by this time was 13 billion pesos. Last year, rates were at the same levels at the end of the year that we have today, and the traded volume was close to 16 billion pesos. So I don't think that there is a direct correlation in between interest rate level and the traded volume. I think that volatility, it is very important. And last year, in particular, during the second half of 2018, we had a lot of volatility, not just because of the elections, but because of some news that had impact in the market, starting 1 month after the presidential elections with the international airport cancellation news and a couple of other news that follow it. And another thing is that more than 40% of the total traded volume today is in the global market in the SIC. And there is a high correlation in the traded volume in the SIC with the volatility of the Mexican peso, as it is also used as an FX trade, as a hedge. I think that volatility on the currency is also very important for the traded volume, and the volatility in the Mexican peso this year has been lower than what we did see last year.
Perfect. Thank you, José Oriol and Roman.
Thanks to you for asking.
The next question comes from David Soto from Santander.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. We have just three questions, one regarding the cost. Which are the actions that you're going to take in the next years, and should we see a continued improvement on cost? And then the second question regarding LED, the LED initiative, when should we see the revenues accounted on Bolsa, and could you give us any color of the amount that you expect of revenues from this new initiative? And the others regarding the discount plan, do you feel having lower fees on government products has been driving for a stronger competition on the government products such as debt? And how many new issuance do you expect in Bolsa due to these changes on the fees? Thanks.
¿Cuántos new issuance?
David, good morning. On your cost question, we're continuously looking for ways to optimize cost, to optimize our headcount, to optimize our infrastructure, our technology. So with that's an effort we will continue for the future. And specifically, we'll be looking, we're not having revenues are down, so compensation will be down somewhat. So we'll just be going through all our expenses and see where we can, if we've had more provisions than we estimate for year end, or where we can continue to optimize. But we do not have a headcount reduction plan or any such initiative. Is more a continuation of just constantly revisiting and renegotiating with our suppliers to keep cost growth to a minimum. On the lead initiative, we expect to start to go live on Q4 of this year. We do not have any numbers to share with you yet. We will do so as soon as we have them. On the discount plan, I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question. Could you repeat it, please?
Yes, of course. Do you feel that lowering your fees for listing new government products such as debt, do you think this has increased the competition, or do you have seen any stronger competition regarding this product? And how many new issues regarding debt, government debt, do you expect on Bolsa?
We did not offer discounts on government products. We offer discounts on the maintenance of all our listed products, and they vary. The discount varies depending on the liquidity of the instruments. Let me say, the less liquid the instrument, the less value added there is on the maintenance service. The more liquid the instrument, the more value added. So our fee reduction is progressive, or let me say it's correlated to the liquidity of the instrument. The less liquid instruments got the bigger discounts, but it's not focused or directed or correlated to government products. Mm-hmm. I don't think this will necessarily improve or increase the number of listings. People come to the exchange for financing, and whether that's the basic driver, not because of the big cost is going to be the interest rate on the product that are on the debt they're issuing. It's not the listing and maintenance cost that's the driver for a company's decision to issue debt or any other financing product in the exchange. Mm-hmm. So this is just this initiative comes for the benefit of our customers. And regarding the pipeline, I'll pass it on to Oriol.
Okay. Regarding the pipeline for this year, the pipeline at this moment looks much slower for several factors. And one of them, first let me start with the debt, with Certificados Bursátiles. On the debt side, we did see a very low activity during the first half of the year, as we have seen some businessmen that are, and talking in particular on the mid and long-term debt, some of the businessmen are on a wait-and-see mode because of uncertainty. However, I think that it is worth mentioning that in the month of May and June, we started to see a recovery. But so far, and you can see that, we did see that in the economic growth for the first quarter, that was a contraction, and second quarter, we do not have numbers, but it's not going to be very positive yet. But hopefully we are going to see a recovery as we did see in the past 2 months, and hopefully we start to see some of those initiatives, expansion plans, etc., that are financed with mid and long-term debt through the exchange started in the next months. On the equity side, the Bolsa is having a very bad performance this year, and I'm talking about the Mexican Bolsa Index, the IPC. The IPC this year is 3% up during these 6 months. But I think that this is, at some point, it is even worse than the last year. Last year, the Bolsa dropped 15 or 16%, but it was in line with all the global markets. However, this year, the Bolsa is 3% up, but all the other global markets are in the U.S., in Europe, in Asia, 15-20% up. So the Mexican bolsa is lagging all the markets, and I think that this is not good for attracting new IPOs. And as Ernesto mentioned at the beginning, the interest rates level are not helping either. So hopefully with a couple of factors, less uncertainty, more confidence, recovery in the economy, and lower interest rates, I think that this would be a much better scenario for a pipeline and for new companies coming to the market. At the moment, what we have seen and where we are seeing interest in the next months is more in alternate products as CECADES and SERPIS, and this was the case in the first half of the year. We are also seeing on the public side interest for one SPAC for a follow-on and a couple of things. But I would say that so far the pipeline is very poor.
Okay, perfect. Just a follow-up question regarding on cost. Do you expect to use any cloud services for your servers for improving your cost, or do you expect anything regarding your services?
It's one of the options we're considering, what cloud services we can use. We already have some services on the cloud, but it's definitely one of the options we have. Specifically, I would say we have a new ERP system, and that's on the cloud.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim.
The next question comes from Mohamed Ahmad from FGP.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for taking my question. Just on the other exchanges revenue share, if you could give me some color on what kind of revenue share in Q2 did the competing exchange achieve in three separate areas, if you could tell me cash equity trading, listing in government debt, and listing in non-government debt, just from a revenue share perspective, if you have those numbers.
Market share. Okay. Let me give you some numbers on them. In terms of market share in cash equity trading, and the first quarter, by the way, the first quarter numbers and second quarter are very similar. So I will give you the first half of the year combined results. But I think that first it is important to mention that the market is not growing. The story that we heard that the traded volume was going to increase by 50% because of a new exchange, and that they were going to bring 50 new companies, etc. I think that we were all convinced, but I think that after 1 year that Viva started operation, I think that now we know that is not, unfortunately, that this is not going to be the case. So we are talking about the same pie that now we are sharing with a new competitor. On the daily traded volume in Mexico, the average is 15 billion pesos per day. And the market share that Viva has been gaining, and it stayed at this level, is 7% of the market share from Bolsa. And let me do some math here. If we are talking about 7% of 15 billion pesos per day, we're talking about 1 billion pesos That is the traded volume that BIVA has on average on a daily basis. If we translate that into revenues, the bolsas in Mexico make or charge around 30 pesos per million traded on each side. So that's for the buyer and the seller. So both sides pay. So this would be for BIVA, let's say for BIVA or the market share that we are losing. This is 60,000 pesos per day in revenues that they are making or that we are losing. And as mentioned, it's not growing. So we think that this is going to stay at this level. 60,000 pesos, that's about $3,000 a day equivalent. If we look at the monthly numbers, that's 1.2 million pesos or around $60,000 a month. And if we look at the annual number, this would be 14.4 million pesos or $720,000 a year. So Bolsa, that means that in terms of revenues, we are not making 14.4 million pesos a year because of the market share that we are losing with BIVA. And obviously, we do not like that, and we are not happy at all. But for the Bolsa, that Bolsa makes around 3.5, that was the case last year, around 3.5 billion pesos a year. So 14.4 million pesos a year out of 3.5 billion pesos, that's around 0.4%. That's it. So we're talking, and I think that is interesting to dimension that. And more information regarding the market share. I mentioned that BIVA has 7% market share. In the local market, that, as you know, we have 150 listed companies, Mexican companies, that, by the way, all of them, 100% of those 150 companies, all local companies, are listed in Bolsa, not in BIVA. But in this market, in the local market, our market share is 98%. So BIVA, they have 2%. And on the global market, or the SIC, we have 90%. They have the remaining balance, 10%. And on the total or consolidated market, local plus global, we have 93%, and they have the 7% that I mentioned.
If I may interject just quickly, I understand that it's 7% volume, and I understand that it's not big in grand scheme of things. There were two things I was trying to understand. One was the direction of the share gain, which you already clarified that it seems to be stabilizing. And the other was that my understanding is that 7% volume share doesn't actually translate into 7% revenue share because they have a much larger share of cross trades, which generates much lower revenue per volume of trade. So wouldn't their actual revenue be substantially lower than what you just calculated?
No, because whether it's a cross trade or not does not impact trading fees, and they only have trading. So the difference would be that if it's a cross trade, you pay the trading fee, but you do not pay the clearing fee. BIVA does not have clearing services.
Ah, okay, that's good. Thank you for clarifying that.
No problem. And one final comment regarding the market share that I think that it is also interesting. The best execution regulation only works for the local market. And the local market is where we have 98% market share for those 150 companies that are traded. The best execution does not work for the 2,000 values that are listed in the SIC. The trades that are executed in the SIC are directed by the broker-dealer or by the final client. It is just an instruction to trade in one or the other exchange. And what we have heard is that there are a few institutional investors that are directing some of those global market or SIC trades into Viva. But the important thing here is that in the best execution market, we have 98%. That means that our technology is highly or extremely competitive because the automated trades are directing the trades to the vaults, not to the Viva. And I think that this is also important to mention on the market share.
Okay, and just on the debt side, corporate and government listing, please.
Yes.
On the short-term debt, on this first 6 months of the year, we have had 579 listings. Viva has had 3. On medium and long-term debt, we have had 52 listings. Viva has had 11.
Okay. And would that largely correspond into revenue share as well?
Well, this will translate into revenue share for future maintenance fees.
Okay. Thank you. And just outlook for personnel cost and other costs, both of those were up sequentially. I just wanted to know if these should be stabilizing at these levels sequentially or should we expect them to continue to grow? I think personnel costs were up about 4% quarter over quarter, so versus Q1, and then
no,
other costs were up 20%.
They should not continue to increase.
Okay, thank you. Should we expect them to fall or stabilize?
We're working on them to reduce them somewhat, but we can't promise you a reduction. But
okay.
We'll definitely
no,
not
great.
Increasing.
Okay. Thank you very
much. All right.
The next question comes from Gilberto Garcia from Barclays.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for the call. I have a follow-up on the market share numbers that you have been discussing. Given that the Viva apparently has a much smaller number of trades but at a higher value, and what you mentioned that perhaps some specific investors are specifically directing their trades to Viva. Do you intend at some point to maybe make more targeted discounts to try to bring some of those block trades to Bolsa?
Gilberto, no, I mean, we cannot have a fee schedule directed at specific customers. Our fee schedule is for the market in general, and it has to be the same for everyone. So if we have one participant who, for whatever reason, is directing trades to Viva, specifically crossing trades in the global market in Viva, we cannot offer him a special discount. To begin with, all the others would ask for that same discount, and it, you know, the remedy may be worse than the expense.
And actually, we are not making if we have a discount or a different fee or a lower fee, this is not for the client. This is for the broker dealer. So if we reduce our fees, the fees are going to be reduced for all the 30 broker dealers, Casas de Bolsa, that we have in Mexico. But we do not know that, and there is no way for us to make sure that this is going to go to the final client. This is going to depend on the broker dealer, and this was the case of the SIC. But we made, as you know, a very big effort in the past 2 years in reducing the fees that we are now seeing the success and on the results. On the sick, the fees on the sick were reduced around 50% for the broker dealers when we took this sponsorship responsibility. But that didn't mean that the 50% discount was going to reach the final client. Actually, we heard broker dealers that say, yes, I'm going to pass that to the client totally. Some of them, they said, you know, I'm going to pass that partially. Some of them said, you know, I'm not going to pass that to the client because my expenses in the past 2 years have had a very important increase because of the related cost to Viva on connectivity, surveillance, etc. And they did not pass that to the client. So it's not in our hands. If we make a discount or a lower price, that this is going to reach the final client, either an institutional investor or any kind of other client.
Okay, understood, very clear. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you.
The next question comes from Manuel Gonzalez from Signum Research.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Just a quick one. I was wondering if you have some estimate of the period of time in which the derivative market could be developed and, you know, like gain a little deepness. And on that regard, I was wondering how is the government cooperating and all that. Thank you.
Hi. Well, we have been working during the year with the authorities to have the participation in the market maker program for M bonds, and that they can include the trading in M bond futures too. And we have been working with the authorities to list the new products like the electricity futures that we have been working for the last 2 years with them. We expected that we can list this electricity product in the last quarter of this year. And then we have been working with the authorities too to list a new product, futures, and that we expected that we can list it in maybe 2 or 3 months, no, a new reference interest rate against the TA. And we expected that at the end of this year we can have 2 or 3 new products. No, and we think that for the first quarter of the next year we can have a change in the market maker program. No, in the M bonds market maker program. No.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. Thank you.
The next question comes from Oliver Leyland from Fiera Capital.
Hello. Thanks for the call. I have a question on the impact of IFRS 16 on your margins. Could you just clarify the full year guidance pre and post IFRS 16 and quantify what was the impact in the first half?
Sure. The impact on the first half was 57 million pesos, so we would roughly double that. The impact on margin we estimate to be about three points. So we moved our guidance from the beginning of the year. It was 53 to 56, and we updated it to 53 to 59 EBITDA margin. So that would be the impact we expect from this.
56 to 59, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
The next question comes from Claudia Benavente from Santander.
Hi, good morning. I have just one question. I was wondering about Indeval. It has been growing nicely, and you just mentioned... You're expecting more revenues from next year, so I was wondering if you should expect that growth, the current levels of growth, to continue as how you've been observing looking forward, or should we expect a stronger growth looking forward? Thank you.
Hi. Well, we've seen a lot of growth much more related to the global market rather than the local market, and it's related to some additional services we have started providing since 2017 and some additional services that we have been adding. Looking forward, as we briefly mentioned on the script, we will be developing and launching additional services by next year, and that has to do with this automation, information generation, and new access for foreign institutions that could come directly to Indeval. So we do foresee additional growth for next year at Indeval.
But for example, do you see growth like current level at 9%, or maybe you can see the current level boosted?
Well, we'll be, for next year, certainly in the plan on the next call, we will be presenting more information on what is the expectations for next year, revenues specifically. But for this year, we believe that we will continue more or less on the trend that we have seen in this first semester.
Okay, thank you.
At this moment, we show no further questions. I would like to turn the call back to Mr. Güemes for final remarks.
Okay. Well, if there are no more questions, thanks again for participating once again in our quarter conference call. We appreciate your participation as well as all your questions. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.